Glad to see everyone back out with us this evening. We want to remind everyone that we will be having a visitation meeting immediately following our services tonight. We're going to go back for those that obviously were not here for the men's business meeting Thursday night. We're going to go back to meeting every other week, just one group like we have been doing, and we're going to start doing that again tonight. Also want to remind our high schoolers and our college students that are here of our devotional tomorrow night at 6:30, so let's remember that as well. We've been discussing for some time now the subject of prayer. Tonight ends that series on prayer. We're going to discuss this evening how God answers prayer. So far in our study on prayer, we have examined the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer, the principles of prayer, the persistence of prayer, and the practice of prayer. We might ask the question, why don't people pray more often? Perhaps people just don't believe their prayers are being answered. Perhaps they just don't believe that there is power in prayer. Not knowing how God answers prayers, they may have lost faith in prayer. So lest we begin to think that God does not hear us when we pray, we should remember that there are at least four ways that God answers prayer. He answers them in four different ways. We're going to discuss these tonight, these four ways, beginning with His answer being request granted. God may answer yes to our prayers, to our petitions. He often grants the petitions we ask of Him, as we read in Psalm 118 and verse 5 and Psalm 138 and verse 3. Especially when we put Him first in our lives. So let's turn, all of us, to Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus preaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That is, these daily things that He has talked about just previously through this. Back in verse 30, talks about clothing. All of that there, talking about if we put the kingdom first, He will grant us our petitions. We don't have to worry about those things. And also Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. So God may answer yes. One thing we need to know is that for God to answer yes, we must ask according to His will. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Let's notice verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So for God to answer yes, we must ask according to His will. Staying here in 1 John, let's turn back to chapter 3. Notice with me verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So not only for God to answer yes, not only must we ask according to God's will, but we must be doing His will in our lives. We must be obeying His commandments in order for God to answer yes to our prayers. Now naturally, we rejoice when God grants our request, but sometimes we may receive another answer. Another answer that we may receive is request granted, but not yet. God may answer our prayer, but He may not answer it in the time that we want Him to answer. God may answer yes, but wait. God grants our request. He may grant our request, but in time and according to His purpose. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Going back to the Old Testament, let's look what Solomon says on the matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Notice with me verse 1 and verse 11. For Solomon, we know, was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. He says here in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven." Notice verse 11 as well. "He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also he has set the world in their heart, that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You see, God does not operate on our time. God doesn't operate on our time. And so his answer may be, I'll grant your request, but you're not ready yet. You may not be ready to receive it. Or I'll grant your request, but now is not the time. So we may think God is saying no. What he is really saying, yes, but wait. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Notice with me verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You see, here were Christians, his elect, his people, rather, that were being persecuted. They cried day and night unto him. Notice the end of that verse, though he bear long with them. You see, God does not answer necessarily when we want him to answer. His answer may be yes, but wait. Now, when the answer seems to be just wait, we need to have patience, don't we? We need to have patience. We need to realize that God is going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, let's notice verses 10 through 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, when the answer seems to be wait, we need to have patience. We need to wait on God. As Luke chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 tells us, when that happens, when God seems to be saying, wait, we need to keep asking, we need to keep seeking, and we need to keep knocking. We need to continue to do these things. We need to continue to go about our Christian lives. We shouldn't get discouraged when God tells us to wait. We should have patience and wait on God to answer us in his own good time. We also need to remember God's promise, Romans 8 and verse 24. When he says to us, wait, we need to remember his promise. When God seems to be saying yes, but wait, it is a time for patience and trust in his promise. We need to realize that God will take care of his own. We need similar trust should it become apparent that God's answer is request granted, but not as expected. This is our third answer that God may give. God may answer yes, but just you may not be receiving it as you think you might, as maybe you would want. Sometimes God answers in a way differently than we may anticipate. Remember, his thoughts and methods are much different than ours. Isaiah 55, 8 and verse 9. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And vice versa. And so, his thoughts and methods are much different than ours. For example, asking God for strength and perseverance, he may give us trials to bear. Philippians 1, 29 through 30. When we ask him for such, when we ask him for strength and for perseverance, we may need to remember that James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials. It may be that he's going that temptations and trials will come our way. God will allow such to happen. And by enduring such, we may be granted strength and perseverance. When we may ask for these things, strength, perseverance, if those in turn develop the virtues we prayed for, that is the trials that we bear, as we see in Romans 5, 3 and 4. My friend, we must not limit God's options. We should be careful and not dictate to God how to answer our prayers. God will not take our dictation. There are forces at work beyond what we can imagine. As we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, God is at work in this world. Plus, we do not always know what to pray for as we ought. Romans 8, verse 26.
We must not limit God's option in any way. If we limit the how, we might limit the result. For example, when praying for the sick, do we pray simply that God bless the use of natural means, doctors, medicine, etc.? If so, might we limit God as to how He might restore them in ways beyond maybe what we're able to imagine? Now, nothing miraculous, of course, will happen, but the body is capable of amazing things. And so we ought not limit God on how He might answer. Is it not better to simply ask God to restore the sick and leave the methods to Him? It may be at times. Does it mean that we shouldn't pray for the doctors and nurses that administer unto the sick? Absolutely we should. But we shouldn't limit God. As we pray, our trust in God should allow Him latitude to answer however He deems best. We especially need trust God. Trust in God should it become apparent that the answer to prayer is request denied. Our final answer of prayer. It may be that when we pray, God may flatly answer no. Maybe it's just not His will that whatever it is may occur. There may be times when God denies our request. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, notice with me verse 3. One reason that God may answer no is a reason here in James 4 and verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. See, James writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, that is the Christians, being scattered abroad, he's warning them here of being selfish with prayer, of asking God things for things rather than they're going to waste in their lusts. And so God, obviously, is not going to answer that prayer. So we need to be careful for what reasons we're asking. Are we asking for selfish reasons? If that's the case, God's not going to answer that prayer. Or rather, He will answer it, but the answer is going to be no. We must trust that God, who knows what is best, would do so only if granting our request might not be for our good. Let's turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. The Hebrews writer says here, beginning in verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, Then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." Verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You see, God is going to do what is in our best interest. It may be that whatever we're asking for at the moment is not in our best interest. It may be that we need to endure whatever trial may be coming our way. You remember Paul went to the Father in prayer asking three times that whatever his thorn in the flesh was, that it would be removed from him. And God's response finally was, "My grace is sufficient for you." You see, whatever it was, it seemed that was keeping Paul, whatever this thorn in the flesh was for Paul, it was keeping him humble. And so the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." It was best for Paul's spiritual welfare that thorn not be removed, it seemed. It may be the case for us. We may have a thorn in the flesh. There may be something going on in our lives that we may want removed, but enduring such may make us stronger. And so God may answer, "No, My grace is sufficient for you." So God may answer request denied. When God seems to say no, we may not fully understand, but we can still fully trust Him, can't we? We may not understand why God is telling us no. We may not understand exactly His reasons.
Let's see an example. Let's go back to the book of Habakkuk. Going back to the Old Testament for just a moment. Let's go to Habakkuk. I want us to notice chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So he goes and he says here, the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. In other words, he's not going to have a harvest. He's not going to have fruit. And yet, verse 18 says, yet, even all this may happen. The field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18 says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, we may not understand why God says no, but we can definitely still fully trust in him. 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13. We read there that God, he's not going to allow us to be tempted above which we are able, and that he will, with the temptation, make a way for us to escape. So in light of that promise, we need to remember that we can trust in God. God will provide the grace and mercy to do without. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. God answers prayer. There's no doubt about that. He's going to answer in one of four ways that we've discussed tonight. We'll be putting away your Bible, taking out your songbook. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. God answers our prayers in at least four ways. He may say yes to whatever we're asking of him. And if that's the case, we need to remember to be thankful for the blessings that he gives us. We need to remember that in all things give thanks, as we discussed partly this morning. It may be that God says, I'll grant your request, but just not yet. It may be that there's something in our lives, maybe, that we're going through, that maybe we need to go through a little bit longer. Give us the strength and courage that we need maybe to face a harder temptation down the road. It may be that we're just not ready to receive whatever it is. Maybe we don't have the maturity just yet to receive whatever it is that we're asking. But we need to remember that when God says, I'll grant your request, but just not yet, we need to remember to have patience. God answers sometimes requests granted, but not as expected. We may ask something of God and expect him to answer in a specific manner, but we need to remember that God is not governed by our thoughts and by our ways. He may answer totally different than what we're expecting. And it may be that God just flat out tells us no. And then we need to be, as Christians, his children, we need to be willing to accept such an answer. And still put our trust in God. We ought not be discouraged when God tells us no. We ought to go on, give God the glory, give him thanks for the blessings we have, and remember that God is in control. However, God may choose to answer our prayers, whether he says yes, but just not yet, yes, but not as you expect it to be answered, or if he just says no. However he may choose to answer our prayers, we can have confidence that God's going to do what's best for us. He's going to do what is best for his children. And we should never grow weary in praying to God our Father. We read in Psalm 6 and verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. And thus concludes our study on prayer. I hope that it has been a beneficial study. And that possibly it has strengthened our prayer lives in going to God our Father in prayer. My friend, if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Lord's church, what hinders you? What keeps you from obeying the gospel? Is it family? Is it friends? Or do you just need to study some more? My friend, we'll be happy to do that with you. We'll be happy to discuss anything having to do with the Bible with you, whatever that may be. We'll be more than happy to. But my friend, if you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, as we have said throughout this study, you need to know that if you're not a child of God, my friend, your prayers, they're not heard. They're not heard. Do you want your prayers to be heard? Do you want them to be answered? Then, my friend, you need to become a child of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And if you do, are you willing to obey the commands that He has set forth to become His child? That is to repent, Luke 13 and verse 3. Confess with your mouth, Matthew 10 and verse 32, so that He will confess you before His Father in heaven. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, as we read in Acts 2 and verse 38. Are you willing to do those things tonight? I hope that you are. There's nothing to hinder your decision this evening. There's nothing whatsoever to keep you from doing that. Because the water's ready. We have clothes that you can change into. So, my friend, please, we beg of you, obey the commands of God. If you hear this night and you've done those things, have you fallen away? Will you come home? Will you be His once more that your prayers be not hindered? Will you come now while we stand and while we sing?